It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Europa League Thursdays mean Premiership Sundays as Rangers head to St Johnstone, Celtic back on home turf against Kilmarnock after returning from Rennes, and it's Derby Day in Edinburgh with both managers desperate for a win. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me in the studio is Gordon Dalziel, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Well, they've lavished the praise upon Celtic and Rangers for their midweek European performances against Rennes and Feyenoord, but now it's domestic business. Defeat is not an option for Rangers in their 12:15 kickoff or for Celtic in their 1 o'clock kickoff. Defeat not an option. A draw is a disaster. To lose, a catastrophe.
Only 10 minutes away from kickoff in Perth, St Johnstone against Rangers. Alison Conroy and Alex Ray have the teams.
Yeah, good afternoon, Gordon. St Johnstone just heading down the tunnel. The Rangers players are already away down. It's a couple of changes for Rangers from that midweek win over Feyenoord in the Europa League. Barker and Aribo come in. Arfield and Kamara go out. So the teams, first of all, for St Johnstone, Xander Clark in goal, a back four of Tony Ralston, Jason Kerr, Liam Gordon and Scott Tanzer. In the midfield, Matty Kennedy, David Wotherspoon, Murray Davidson, Ali McCann. Up front, Stevie May and Michael O'Halloran. On the bench, Parrish, Duffy, Booth, Wright, Swanson, Kane and Callaghan. For Rangers, Alan McGregor's in goal, the back four of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Philip Hollander and Borna Barisic. In a three of Steve Davis, Ryan Jack and Joe Aribo, with Shea Ojo and Brandon Barker just behind the lone striker of Alfredo Morelos. On the bench for Rangers, Fotheringham, Edmondson, Defoe, Halliday, Kamara, Stewart and Arfield. Your referee for this afternoon's game at McDermott Park is Andrew Dallas. Alex Ray, we look at these teams, a couple of changes for Rangers which would not be unexpected after the midweek.
Yeah, absolutely. We said yesterday in the studio we felt as if Aribo and Brandon Barker would come in, Alison, to give them plenty of legs on that left hand side. It's an opportunity to see Borno Barisic as well, who played ever so well in Europe on Thursday. So as Hugh Keevan says, it's a must win for Rangers. It gives them an opportunity to put pressure on Celtic, who kick off in 45 minutes or so. So you know, they have to get back to the domestic business.
What do you expect from St Johnstone? They haven't had a great start. They've only got three points this season.
Yeah, well, I think if you look at the recent form, Alison, I think it's three draws in the last four games. They'll take encouragement from that. I'm looking at the offensive options that they have at their disposal. Young Matty Kennedy's got three goals. Michael O'Halloran scored two in the last three. Stevie May hasn't scored from open play in almost a year. He's had a couple of penalties in between. So he'll be looking to come back here and try and resurrect his career, because, you know, the last couple of years have been a bit of a nightmare for him, but I feel as if this is his home, really.
Not long till kick-off for this one, Gordon. Those two changes for Rangers. Barker and Aribo in, Arfield and Kamara go out.
We have to realise from Thursday to Sunday you don't really get much pitch time. We have to maybe try and get information into them a different way, but it's very difficult to get training time from Thursday to Sunday. They'll try and play on the fact that we've had a really tough game on Thursday night, so I think the results have improved slightly of late. Tommy's a good manager, really well organised, got a real strong result against us at Ibrox the back end of last season, so certainly respect him and his team. It'll be a different type of challenge there at home, but it's a very important game for us, big 3 points, and we need to try and take the feel-good factor from Thursday night and try and take it into Sunday. As I say, there'll be a few changes in the team, and we'll go there with hopefully a team that's good enough to get the job done.
8 minutes till kick-off between St Johnstone and Rangers. Let's quickly go to Celtic Park, though, because we've got breaking team news from there as well for the visit of Kilmarnock, Andrew McLean and Jim Duffy.
Yeah, well, 100% perfect league start for Celtic, and a good result midweek as well against Rennes in the Europa League. So plenty for the fans and management to be happy about here at Celtic Park. A sixth win on the bounce to open the Premiership season would be a real statement of intent for the Hoops. But they're coming up against a Kilmarnock side who look to be rejuvenated. They look to be on the up. They had a poor start, of course, under Angelo Alessio. Everyone remembers what happened in the Europa League qualifiers against Connors Quay Nomads. But they're unbeaten in their last four games. They get two wins in their last two, and they'll be looking to keep that good form up today against Celtic. As for team news, two changes for Celtic from that 1-0 draw against Rennes. Out go El Yunusi and El Hamid. In come Moritz Bauer and Olivier Chams. So it's a 4-2-3-1 for Celtic. Fraser Forster starts in goal. The back four, Moritz Bauer, Christopher Julian, Christopher Ayer and Bolly Bolingoli. Callum McGregor and Scott Brown, the two holding midfielders, with James Forrest, Olivier Cham and Ryan Christie in behind Odson Edward. The substitutes, Gordon, Taylor Hayes, El Hamid, Rogic, El Yunusi and Bayo. Kilmarnock unchanged from that 2-0 win against Hibs last time out. So it's Laurentiu Brănescu that starts in goal. The back four, Stephen O'Donnell, Dario Del Fabbro, Stuart Finlay and Nico Hamalain. In the midfield three, Mohamed El Makrini, Gary Dicker and Alan Power, with Rory McKenzie, Eamon Brophy and Liam Miller, the front three. The substitutes, Koprovic, Bruce Johnson, Burke, So, St Clair and Thomas. Jim Duffy, how do you see this one going today?
Yeah, I think like most people we are today, I think that you know, expect Kilmarnock to be defensive, resolute, try and take the sting out of the game. And Celtic, you know, as you've just said there, have been imperious and domestically, and also that you know, terrific you know, recently in Europe. So you know, you expect Celtic to win the game. Yeah, whether win it comprehensively or not, I don't think Neil Lennon will be too bothered. I think he just wants to get the 3 points. We hear Stephen Gerrard saying about the, you know, the time factor after games and all that stuff. I'm not really buying that too much, I have to be honest with you. I think that when you're at a club, the big clubs like Celtic and Rangers, you expect to be playing midweek and then at the weekend, and you've got a squad big enough to compete with it in comparison to anyone else.
1 o'clock kickoff here for Celtic against Kilmarnock.
St Johnstone and Rangers are moments away from kickoff. We'll go back to Perth next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Not long till kickoff here at McDermott Park, St Johnstone against Rangers. Alex Ray, just briefly, what are you expecting from this one? Of course, there will be that tribute to Fernando Rixon.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
I think it'll be a tough ask for Rangers today. They have to go about their business in the right manner, and you know, they have to be on the front foot, similar to Thursday night. St Johnstone have actually shown a little bit of decent form, and we're just about to get the 1 minute silence for Fernando Rixon.
Yeah, Gordon, the teams are taking the place on the centre circle with that tribute for Fernando Rixon.
Well, that's the right thing to do. St Johnstone will acknowledge the tragic passing of Fernando Rixon. Celtic, at 1 o'clock, will have a minute's applause, again to acknowledge the sad passing of Fernando Rixon. When people speak of the football family, it's not a cliche. It becomes a reality when something as sad as Fernando Rixon's death occurs. So, well done St Johnstone, well done Celtic. And I'm quite sure that Hibs will do the same thing in Edinburgh at 3 o'clock.
What are you expecting from the game this afternoon? Then let's get your score predictions in from you three.
I'll go first, you, if you want.
Yeah.
I'm very confident that Rangers will win this game. It will be difficult because St Johnstone will make it very difficult being at McDermott, their home side. But I think the Rangers, with a bit of pace on the flanks, with Brandon Barker coming in there, Aribo coming in, Ojo must be in a high after Thursday night's goal, and Morelis looking to score a couple this afternoon, I'm going 2-0 Rangers.
Okay, Doc. Mark Wilson?
3-1 Rangers.
Okay. Well, Hugh Keevans, we've done this in reverse order today. It's thrown me off.
Yeah, Stephen Gerrard spoke about Rangers having a tough game on Thursday night, which is partially true. It was a game they dominated. They made it tough for Feyenoord, not the other way round. And so I don't think there's any problem with recovery time. I think that Rangers have a quality of player that St Johnstone cannot match, and I think Rangers will win by a 3-goal margin.
To nil?
A 3-goal margin.
Come on,
Hugh.
Oh,
three-goal margin.
Right, I'll put you down for 10-7 then, okay? And we'll see how we get on.
But it's a big pitch. Hugh's right. I mean, people may think Rangers might be leggy, but a big pitch, I think, suits them with the pace on their side.
It's full time in Perth. Let's get the story of it from Alison and Alex.
Full time at McDermott Park, St Johnstone 0, Rangers 4. A game that's ended with a bit of controversy. A penalty claim denied, a goal that looked to have maybe have crossed the line disallowed, then a goal that was offside allowed, as Rangers in the end leave with a comfortable victory. The first half was fairly uneventful. Rangers flat, then they found their feet into the second half, and Alfredo Morelos had them 1-0 up just after the break, blasted high into the roof of the net after finding himself one-on-one with Xander Clark. Alan McGregor then denied Ali McCann at the other end before James Tavernier's cross took Morelos by surprise and he couldn't get it on target. Conor Goldson then made it 2-1 in the 61st, headed down from the cross, and Clark couldn't keep it out. A great save by Clark then denied Arfield before there was a penalty claim for Rangers. The ball hit Murray Davidson on the arm in the box, But referee Andrew Dallas waved play on. Then a chance for St Johnstone in the 88th. Callaghan looked to have scored from Ralston's corner, but Andrew Dallas said he did not cross the line. Jermaine Defoe then just took the ball straight up the other end and scored to make it 3-0 for Rangers. Then in the 90th minute, Defoe made it 4. It looked to be offside, but it was allowed full time. St Johnstone 0, Rangers 4. Alex Ray, in the end, a lot of controversy in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the two talking points will be whether it was over the line, whether it was offside, the penalty decision. But I think over the piece, Alison, I think we spoke at half time in terms of the match winner, Steven Gerrard, be looking. I thought Alfredo Morelos kick-started that. The way he rolled the player, got across the face, and his finish was brilliant. From that, they get plenty of momentum. Jack and Davis in the middle of the park were a driving force. We spoke about Aribo making more runs offensively, getting more runners in behind, and I think it was comprehensive in the end.
Plenty of talking points from this one, but in the end, a comfortable victory for Rangers that finished St Johnstone 0, Rangers 4.
And it is finished now, would you believe it? It's full-time at Celtic Park. Let's get the story with Andrew and Jim Duffy.
Celtic 3, Kilmarnock 1, the full-time score, and Neil Lennon's side come from behind to secure the win and keep their lead at the top of the table at 3 points. In the early stages, James Forrest was the liveliest player on the park. He was continually cutting in from that left-hand side and having a go. The first of those efforts came off the post before he had another couple saved by Laurentiu Brunescu. Kilmarnock had their first chance 33 minutes in, and they took it really well. Liam Miller carrying the ball forward down the left-hand side on the breakaway. A great weight of pass through to Eamon Brophy. Pass the defenders. About three defenders then swarmed round him in the box, but he managed to get his shot away. Looked as if it took a nick on its way past Fraser Forster into the back of the net, but he was calm and composed in the area, and that was 1-0 to Kilmarnock. Then, right before the break, Celtic got their equaliser. James Forrest's cross from the left-hand side found Odson Edward in the box. Good movement from him, and he got his header away down into the ground and passed for an escort for 1-1. Celtic then started quickly after half-time, and they got themselves in front. Moritz Bauer threading a ball through to Odson Edward, and he slotted it calmly underneath the goalkeeper for 2-1. They then extended their lead 57 minutes in. Volleyball and Golly's cross from the left was headed goalwards by James Forrest. It was an absolutely wonderful save by Laurentiu Brunescu, but he could only palm it into the path of Ryan Christie, who was following in, and he managed to bundle it over the line for 3-1 to Celtic. Scott Brown then gifted Kilmarnock the chance to get back into the game. He moved to right back after a reshuffle following an injury to Christopher Julien, and straight away he slid in a rash challenge on Osman So, and he gave away a penalty. Alan Power stepped up to take, and Fraser Forster got down low to his right to beat it away and keep the lead at 2 goals. The final chance of the game fell to James Forrest down the right hand side into the box. He had a shot, it was blocked, it looped up over the goalkeeper and on to the top of the bar. But the full time score here was Celtic 3, Kilmarnock 1, and Jim Duffy, he would say it wasn't a vintage display here, but Celtic getting what they came for.
No, absolutely deserved victory for Celtic. I mean, they've scored 3, they've hit the woodwork twice, hit the post, hit the bar. The keeper's had a couple of good saves. Actually, the save leading up to Ryan Christie's an unbelievable save. James Forrest is actually celebrating, he's got his head in his hands, but Christie followed it up and bundled over the line. And obviously they've got the chance to maybe just to make it a little bit nervy last few minutes with the penalty. I do think it was a penalty. I think it's one of those ones again where you win the ball but you get aggressively with the studs showing, your momentum takes you into the player. Anybody else in the pitch is a free kick. It's just the way the modern game is. Neil Lennon didn't agree. He picked up a yellow card for it, which is I don't really get the point of it, but anyway, he gets a yellow card. But Celtic, I think, will be delighted. One or two of them looked a wee bit leggy later on. Edward was superb. Obviously, he's 2 goals. James Forrest, I've seen him stretching a few times when the ball was away. Callum McGregor, similar. So I think they'll absolutely be delighted after in the back of the performance during the week, and getting the 3 points today was all important. And another 3 goals. I mean, Celtic are scoring a lot of goals. And as I said, Eamon Brophy had a great shot, almost similar to the goal he scored, but the keeper had a terrific save, and then he had a good save with the penalty as well. So although Kilmarnock were, you know, quite conservative in their play, they've scored 1, keepers had 2 great saves. So, you know, a wee bit of credit to them as well for the way they approached the game. The Celtic deserve victory, deserve victors. And as I said, I think Neil Lennon will be delighted with the overall performance. It wasn't brilliant, but it was more than good enough to win the match.
Who was your Super Scoreboard man of the match, Jim?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt it has to be Odson Edward. I mean, he's got 2 goals, his link-up play was terrific, he was coming off into little pockets. There were some good performances with one or two other players. I thought Bauer done well on the right-hand side. ran out of steam a little bit. Ballingolly set up one of the goals. Bower set up one of the goals as well. I thought Gary Dicker for Kilmarnock was very good. But for me, Ogden Edward was the class act in the game.
Thank you very much to Jim Duffy for the meantime. He'll stay with us because the open line's round the corner. Alex Ray, before we say goodbye to you, your final thoughts, please, from St Johnstone against Rangers.
Yeah, it was a very professional job. Gordon scoring four goals, Shipping and Defoe get two, Morelos played well, and a clean sheet. So overall, I think Steven Gerrard will go back down the road after a tough night in Europe with another win. So I think from a Rangers perspective, I'll be really happy with that.
Okay, farewell to Alex Ray, but Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here and they are waiting on your call. 0141 951 1025. Rangers winning 4-0 in Perth, Celtic winning 3-1 against Kilmarnock. Quite simply, what did you make of it? What impressed you? Were there some things that didn't impress you? What about the various controversies in refereeing decisions at McDermott Park as well? Let's do it all and we'll hear from Steven Gerrard next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon DL and Jim Duffy are here. They want to hear from you. They want to hear from you now. Let's see what you made of the games at McDermott Park and Celtic Park this afternoon. Rangers getting us underway with a 4-0 victory in Perth against St Johnstone. Alfredo Morelos, Conor Goldson and a late double from Jermaine Defoe. That doesn't quite tell the full story because there's a bit of debate as to whether St Johnstone should have had a goal. Did it cross the line? Did it not? Was Jermaine Defoe offside? Did Rangers get a blatant penalty turned away? All sorts of controversy and debate. That's what we do in this part of the world. So let's get your thoughts on them. Celtic fans, a professional job. How important was Odson Edouard for you? And of course, the Edinburgh Derby is underway as well. What a Sunday we have, Hugh Keevans.
We're 1 minute into it and it's all go. Tackles are flying in. Ick Piazu's just been pulled up there for a foul. And from minute one, it is the old-fashioned derby. It is hell for leather.
Rangers fans, let's see if you agree with Steven Gerrard's assessment of the game in Perth. He's been speaking to Alison Conroy at full time.
I thought first half we were doing okay and we were getting into some really good areas, getting into the final third, but we didn't have much quality. There wasn't a connection in the final third, and that's the reason why we probably never created enough in the first half to be in front. We had one really good chance with Alfredo, but we need to try and create a little bit more than that. After the break, we've certainly found our level. And we've certainly found the performance that I was looking for. I thought we were outstanding in the second half. People will talk about the big moments on the goal line, and everyone I'm sure will have the opinion on it, but the camera angles I've seen, it's not a goal. Stephen Davis has done tremendously well on two occasions, and I think that epitomised his performance. I thought he was man of the match by some distance. He was outstanding today.
At the other end, do you think you should have had a penalty?
Probably not. Probably a bit too close. I did appeal for it because it did hit his hand, but I understand why the referee hasn't given that one. But I think the linesman deserves credit for getting that one right, because it could have been a big moment and it could have put us under pressure for the final moments of the game. But I think our all-round application today probably deserved a clean sheet, and we're really pleased about that.
How extra pleasing is a victory like that when you go from Thursday night and the efforts that you've
put? Yeah, I think a lot's made of the Thursday nights, you know, Thursday, Sunday, and you know we did put a lot into Thursday, but we say to the players, look, it's a mental thing, because you look at our energy and our running in the second half, it proves it's not down to fitness and it's not down to Thursday night, because we finished the game stronger than we started it. It's all in the mind, and we need to get better than that. We need to try and start these games better, certainly after the Thursday night. But I've always got belief with the players we've got on the pitch that we're always going to create chances and score. And Alfredo got us the breakthrough, did outstandingly well again. And then, you know, it's always tempting when you've got Jermaine behind you to get him on the pitch, because you know he can kill games off like that.
And there you have it, Hugh Keevans. You three are all adamant. Everyone seems to be adamant that Rangers should have had a penalty, but Steven Gerrard doesn't think so.
Well, I don't care. Steven Gerrard's wrong and we're right.
I thought you might say that.
And he's taken a very generous approach there, because, you know, it wasn't crucial.
Yeah.
But he did appeal for it, and he appealed for it because he could see it's a penalty all day long.
No, he sounds pretty clear. He doesn't think it was a penalty.
All of a sudden, I think the officials have had a great game. because I have looked at this a million times, gone from different angles, and I will now say...
Oh, don't reveal it. Don't reveal what you think of the goal, because Brian wants to make that point on the line, and then I'll get your verdict.
Right, okay.
Okay. Brian, what did you make of the game overall today? Brian is a Rangers fan.
Yeah, I thought Rangers were a bit passive in the first half. Obviously, they expended a lot of energy, you know, on Thursday night. So I felt at the start of the game, just feeling their way into it, you know, basically see how St Johnstone were going to play as well, if they were going to, you know, be very energetic and you know, press. As it turned out, after the first 10, 15 minutes, St Johnstone were just happy just to, you know, hold their ground and just kind of deny space in the last third. Can I say, before I was going to start, can I pass my condolences on Fernando's family and friends? When Fernando played in that infamous Old Firm game, 6-2, I'm saying infamous for Rangers perspective, of course, I wouldn't have bet a penny him being there long term, and he spent 6 years at the club. The guy was a true warrior on and obviously off the pitch, you know, the way he dealt with his illness.
Yeah, well said, Brian. What about the, let's think about some of the controversial moments today. The goal, what do you think? Was it over the line or St Johnstone hard done by? Or is do you go along with Stephen Gerrard?
I actually agree, Gordon, with the panel that spoke about it about 10 minutes ago. Because I hadn't really, I'd only seen it I watched the game on the television, so I only seen it and I didn't see the replay. Mm-hmm. So I'd taped the end of the game and, you know, I put that bit on, and to be honest, it's almost impossible to see. Some angles it looks as if it is, and then other angles it looks, well, I didn't realise that Stephen Davis actually cleared it with his heel.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he cleared it with his instep. So that's how difficult it's impossible for officials, you know, to give that decision. So that's why, even if it was over, how can you actually prove it unless you've got goal line technology, which gives you that definitive.
Yeah, those ones are difficult because people are arguing about it, but you've now all had a bit of chance to digest it. I've tried to show you as much footage and pictures and so on as we can. What's the final verdict, if you like, you three?
Well, I go first, Hugh.
Yep.
Well, when I seen it at first, Gordon, I thought it was a stonewall goal. Right, I said I couldn't believe that the officials got it wrong, couldn't see it. I have looked at it at every angle, and I've still found it very difficult. But if I had now to make that final decision, I would say no goal, and well done to the officials, and I apologise.
And I agree. I exonerate the officials from any blame whatsoever. We've seen it from so many angles now that it is impossible to conclusively prove that was a goal. And therefore, what chance does Andrew Dallas and his official team have if we've taken this length of time, taking television replays, snapshots from the game, everything? It's impossible to prove beyond all shadow of a doubt that ball was over the line.
Well, yeah, but what would you go for? What do you think? Was it over or not, based on what you've seen?
Based on all of the stuff that I have seen, I no longer think it was a goal.
Mark Wilson,
same as the guys.
A full house.
Yeah,
oh, come on.
It's the one along the line. You know, the camera angle along the line, but it's taken us to now to actually see a still of that.
Andrew Dallas has 1 second. We've taken
he's
one
not
hour.
Got that
so
yeah. Yeah. So it's I think from that angle it's pretty conclusive. It's not over the line.
Jim Duffy, this won't concern you because you've not had to sit and watch it and pore over it. But just listening to the general discussion, Brian, coming on and the sort of overall feeling of Rangers' general performance and the contribution of guys like Defoe and Morelos, how do you view the job that they did this afternoon?
I think it's a terrific job the Rangers have done. I mean, I think you know, any footballer, you know, Mark Gordon will tell you, you know, you don't always start the game, you know, right, you know, at the top level. And the good teams wear the other teams down by constant pressure, constantly moving the ball. And sometimes it takes into the second half, like Celtic done today, like Rangers done. You know, that sometimes you assess the opposition. It's a little bit like sparring for the first 45 minutes. If you get a goal, great. But if you don't, then you keep at it. You keep the way you're playing. And then invariably, that quality shines through. Morelos, for instance, you know, Edward. You know, the other teams, you know, it's not being disrespectful to St Johnstone come out. There's no chance they can have a player of that quality in their team. So these guys can make the difference. Then you've got somebody like Defoe coming on. I mean, an absolute top class striker to put the game to bed. So yeah, I think Steven Gerrard delighted with the overall result and performance. And again, four goals, clean sheet. Yeah, there's always going to be a bit of controversy in football, but it just shows you how difficult a job referees have when all the guys are debating it, and that's you know, and debating it for the length of time that it was, where referees don't have these things. They have a split second to make that decision. So whoever made the call, according to you guys, deserves an enormous amount of credit, because by all accounts, you know, to make that call at that time of the game was one of the toughest ones you probably have all season.
Oh, don't worry, they're not getting that much credit, because the guys still think that Defoe was offside and that Rangers should have had a penalty. So we'll give it where it's due, but they're all in agreement on that one. Brian on the line, thank you very much for your opening remarks on today's game. Would you like to hear what Tommy Wright had to say at full time?
Oh, yes.
That's what Tommy Wright had to say at full time.
Because the bell tolls.
He, for whatever reason, for maybe a couple of reasons, he's not happy, Hugh. He's not fond of us very much by the looks of it. Yeah. And he politely, not sure if it was, I'll get the verdict if it was politely. We'll go for that at the moment. Politely requested that Alison Conroy leave the press room, and she was forbidden from recording his interview. So,
well,
there we go.
That's sad. I would have very much liked to have heard what he had to say, but the whole afternoon and all of its controversies, etc. However, speaking as someone who, over the course of many years, was banned periodically by football clubs, it's a shameful way to go about your business. It's a suppression of freedom of speech. And it ill becomes a manager of Tommy's experience to indulge in all this nonsense. He's got more to worry him, because if Hearts get a result today, it'll be bottom of the league table. He's got more to worry him than banning the press.
I think you're right, Hugh. I think that, listen, as managers, you don't like sometimes what people say about you or write about you. But you've got to be big enough to stand up to that, Gordon, and just accept it.
Answer me this though then: why do so many people say that they don't care what people say about them,
then
they undeniably do care? They very much care what people say about them.
It was the same at Celtic Park when Alice went into the press room. She was told that Tommy Wright wanted her to leave. It's a joke. Be upset, don't agree with it, but be man enough and big enough and brave enough to say, right, that's my job, go on with it. Because as Hugh pointed out there, he's got more to worry still than Radio Clyde or Alison Conroy or any of us, what our opinions is. He's got to start winning football games.
Well, I think there are a few different gripes, and maybe I would open an invitation to Tommy to come on if he fancies it, and we can talk about it in an amicable manner. Part of the problem, and I say there may be more than one gripe, part of the problem was he didn't like Jim Duffy predicting
it's his fault that
St Johnstone were going to go down this season.
Is he honestly banning Radio Clyde? Because I was asked at the start of the season, you know, and I gave an opinion which is based on nothing really.
You've got to
pick someone. It's just like picking who you ask the questions, who you win the league, and loads of people do. I mean, if that's the reason, to be honest with you, that's a bit embarrassing.
I think my understanding is it's not the sole reason, but it's part of it. I think
I've been in football a long, long time. I've been at clubs where people have said I'm rubbish or whatever. I genuinely don't care. Who cares? I mean, does it really bother them what I would say or anyone else would say? Whether it's Gordon, yourself, anybody. I mean, who really bothers that much? It's water off a duck's back. To be honest with you, if anything else, if you do well, then, you know, it's always one of those ones where you can look back at the end of the season and say, well, there you are, you got it wrong. But to be perfectly honest with you, I really don't think it's such a big deal. I mean, if it bothers them that much, then... God, I hate to see a real criticism coming his way.
Well, like I say, I think that's maybe only part of the issue. Tommy is welcome anytime. I am an open-minded individual. He's welcome anytime to come, and we can maybe smooth it over, and we can see what the other gripes are. But anyway, let's move on with the phones. There are some people who do want to talk to us. Craig is one of them. He's a Rangers fan. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you, Craig. What did you make of that today? It was quite breathless stuff at the end, wasn't it?
It was, aye. I'm glad Rangers get a win. I thought they thoroughly deserved to win because I think, you know, when you see the game as a whole, you know, Rangers did dominate it. So I think it's fair to say that. However, the referees had an absolute nightmare today. Now, the goal, I understand you can mitigate them because, you know, I was like the guys, when I seen the first angle, I thought, that's a goal. You know, and as a Rangers fan, I'm thinking, oh, you know, they're going to get back in it. Didn't give it. And then when you see the side angle, you're thinking, it's a bit more contentious. However, there's nothing contentious about Murray Davidson's handball. It's a clear handball. It's a stonewall penalty. Now, it didn't impact the game, as Steven Gerrard says. But for me, and Defoe is clearly offside as well, although these things don't, in the end, have a material impact on the game, I don't think that's what should matter. Because referees at any level should not be making such obvious mistakes. Andrew Dallas is 5 yards away from Murray Davidson. He can clearly see that's a handball. And the linesman had about, you know, had days to put his flag up when Defoe was offside because he didn't move quickly. It wasn't a sprint run. He was offside quite clearly. I mean, I think Mark Wilson said earlier it was like a still picture for him. So, you know, for me, even as a Rangers fan, I look at that and I think to myself, that, and last season was the same as well, the standard of refereeing in this country is got to go up because it might not have impacted the game today, but it could next week or it could the following week or whatever, and it could cost teams.
Craig, you used the expression there, the standard of refereeing in this country. It's a matter of 3 days since we watched a Spanish referee in France make a series of daft mistakes in the Celtic game whereby Celtic are given a penalty that's not as good as the penalty they were not given, and also send off a Celtic player for a non-existent offence. So it's not just about referees in this country. The man involved in the Celtic game in midweek has twice refereed Real Madrid versus Barcelona, and he still got it horrendously wrong.
I think you're right, Hugh. I think sometimes we get caught up with the Scottish referees, give them real stick. Yeah, today you can look over it. Nobody's come on and said, what a fantastic decision from the officials for the St Johnstone no goal.
Yeah, but I suppose you can...
But the linesman, what I think the referee takes the blame, and sometimes wrongly, I think the assistant referee's got to help him with the Defoe. He's looking right along that line.
Oh, that's on the assistant, right, that one, isn't it?
The one thing he got wrong today, Andrew Dallas, basically was it was a stonewall penalty kick.
Craig, were you surprised to hear your manager, Steven Gerrard, say that he didn't think it was a penalty? Because managers will claim for most things, and he did at the time. All the guys in the studio agree with you that they think it was a stonewaller, and then Steven Gerrard actually doesn't. Does that surprise you?
Well, it doesn't, because I mean, let's be fair here, right? If Rangers don't get that penalty and Rangers draw 1-1, Steven Gerrard is shouting for the rafters that that is a penalty. You know what I mean? So I think he's been a bit overly generous because I can't see and I don't believe that he genuinely sees that and thinks that's not a penalty. Maybe he'll look back at it in the television screens and he'll change his mind. But like I say, I think if Rangers lost points because of that, he'd have been screaming it was a penalty.
Hold on, when you've
won 4-0.
Yeah, I do accept that, Hugh. I understand that point. But he's really gone out his way to do it then. Not only has he said it's not a penalty, he's explained why it wasn't a penalty. Well, he said that it was too close. I get Craig's logic, but maybe then, if that is the case, surely Steven Gerrard would have said, do you know what? I thought at the time it was, but maybe it wasn't, and it's not impacted the game, fine. But he's really gone out his way if that's the case, because he's explained why it wasn't.
Here's my interpretation of why he went out of his way. He knows that people will bang on and on and on about whether the ball was over the line or not, and he's trying to come across as being magnanimous by saying, well, you know, the referee, and it was too close. It wasn't close at all.
That's what I'm saying then. Would the normal, my normal understanding of being magnanimous would have been if he had just sort of brushed it off. But
he's gone completely in the opposite direction, well, which makes me think he genuinely doesn't believe it was a penalty.
Because it's irrelevant. The decision is irrelevant. Yeah. Like
that's what
point.
I mean. Why not just say that then? Why not just say it's irrelevant rather than argue that it's not a penalty?
Maybe he's in a good mood and he's 4-0 up and he's sitting there. I think if that's 1-1 and Rangers drop points,
he goes mad
because you see him. You seen the still on the touchline or the camera angle from him on the touchline claiming it was a penalty and then laughing as in a sarcastic laugh. How's that not a penalty? I think he knows all day long.
I totally agree with the boys. I think Craig's bang on the money. If that had to finish 1-1, Gerrard would have been out going absolutely bonkers. He shouts for it from that distance, and you're telling me now when he sees it up close, he's saying, well, it wasn't a penalty kick. Nonsense.
Is he a liar? That Stephen Gerrard a liar?
No,
I think he's just the conclusion.
I think he's
See,
just
you're using evocative terminology there. I'm just saying.
Sorry, is he not telling the truth? I'll rephrase it for you and make it less evocative.
He is being economic with the truth.
Okay. Craig, what about the actual football itself? A lot of focus goes on the refereeing side of it.
I thought Rangers were good. I thought, you know, the first half, they were a bit staggering, a bit flat. I think, you know, Celtic started slow as well. That's kind of to be, don't worry, I'm not one of these people who buys into the whole Thursday Sunday thing, but you can understand with so much effort's been put in that would be the case. But I think particularly in the second half when Rangers came out, Rangers stepped it up a gear, and it was a gear that, you know, unfortunately through not having the same quality, St Johnstone just couldn't step it up to. Now don't get me wrong, I think there are times when Rangers are leading, you know, when like the contentious goal, you know, for me, St Johnstone should never be getting into those positions so easily in the first place. But that's a minor gripe. In reality, I thought they were well. Actually, there was something that Gordon Dale said during the game that I wanted to pick him up on, because when they were talking about Morelos and Edouard briefly, Gordon Dale was saying that Celtic field players all over the park, who score the goals, but that Alfredo, you know, Rangers have only really got Alfredo Morelos. That's not really true, is it? Because the Fulcrum's on and scores too. Scott Arfield has scored a number. James Tavernier, to defends, gets a few goals. I accept we could be doing with more players like that, but even the likes of Shea Ojo, it's him that scored the goal.
Chris, I totally agree with what you're saying there, but what I was trying to point out was the fact that when Rangers are not firing in all cylinders, especially today in the first half, they have that one guy like Morelos. Defoe's on the bench. Morelos will step up. He's the one that you really look at getting them back in, getting them into the game, getting them that goal, which happened today. Yeah, they've got other ones that can chip in. My point was where, you know, Celtic have got players all over the park at that time when they really need a goal can produce. I just think that Rangers rely heavily on Morelos, who obviously delivers because he bagged 30 last season.
I don't think it was a criticism from you.
No, it certainly wasn't.
For Morelos more
than because I'm a massive Defoe fan. Comes on, okay, he's been offside today on his finishes, but some of his finishing is absolutely terrific. I like Arfield. I've always said I like him in a forward position. But I just think when Rangers are at that, not at their best, it's always Morelos that seems to step up.
Craig, thank you very much for your thoughts. Celtic fans, what about you? You'll be safely away from Celtic Park now, I would imagine. What did you make of it this afternoon? Tell us and we'll hear from Neil Lennon next. 01419511025. That's the number you need to get in touch with Mark Wilson, Gordon Dale, Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy. You can take your pick who to aim your opinion at after those games this afternoon. Celtic fans still waiting to hear from you to let us know what you made of the game at Celtic Park. There was a penalty save from Fraser Forster, two goals for Oddson Edouard. Celtic fell behind and came back after a difficult night in Europe. What does that tell you? Let us know. 01419511025. We're going to hear from Neil Lennon very soon indeed. Jim Duffy, the penalty save from Fraser Forster, Celtic win the game 3-1. It's relatively comfortable, but at that moment, I guess that's a big and important moment within the game.
Yeah, because obviously Celtic had just lost Julian as well, and they had to reshuffle, put Scott Brown to right back, put El Hamadi, who had just come on, put him to centre back. And obviously the score then, and I suppose Kilmarnock might just throw a set and a half up the pitch and think, well, what have we got to lose? We'll have a wee gamble here, and Celtic just looked as if they'd run out of steam a little bit at that time. But, you know, listen, it didn't happen. There was a little bit of debate with the penalty. Harvey St. Clair had just come on and was having a little chat, because obviously, as Gordon said, Eamon Brophy's a normal penalty taker. He's off. But Alan Power, maybe being the senior player there, said, no, I'll take it. Anyway, he had it low to the keeper's right, and Foster read it pretty comfortably and well, and pushed it away. And ultimately, then Celtic won the game convincingly. But yeah, I mean, it could have made a wee difference. You never can tell with a couple of minutes to go. But, you know, Celtic deserved to win. But as I said, Kilmarnock, I think, deserve credit. I think, you know, you can see under Angelo Alessio now that, you know, that he's got them. They understand the way he wants them to play now. But Celtic, as I said, have just got that quality, and particularly Edward and Christie. You know, they've just got that instinct for goals. And when you've got that quality at the top end of the pitch, Forrest's ball for the first goal was fantastic. The two fullbacks contributing for the next two goals. So, you know, overall, as I said, I think Neil Lennon will be delighted with the result and the general performance, I think.
The English Premier League and Manchester United in particular, Jim, have been hoovering up all these controversies about who should take penalties. Did we get our own one there? Do you think that plays any part in the missed effort?
Well, you never can tell, you know. But as I said, I think it's a difficult one when you might have a nominated penalty taker. Some will do too, you know, say like, that's the first penalty or the second penalty. But what annoys me with Down South in particular is they always go on about these meticulous planning, right? Oh, every game is meticulously planned with all the details, and they keep using these phrases about small details, but they don't nominate a penalty taker. It's one of the most important things you can do. So, you know, I think with the penalty going off, there was obviously a little bit of debate, but it wasn't pushing, shoving and grabbing the ball that we've seen Down South. It was just a little chat in the ear. But as I said, Alan Power decided to take it, and unfortunately for him, he missed, and Fraser Foster pulls off a good save.
29 minutes gone in the Edinburgh Derby at Easter Road. It's been a massive build up to this one because of the run of results and the criticism both managers have been getting. What have we made of it so far? Half an hour in, it's a good sample size.
Frantic, as ever. Best chances falling to Hibs. Stevie Marlin had a cutback that he thought this might be it, but he hit the ball wrongly and it went into the ground and over the bar. So Hibs have the better of the game, but goalless and frantic.
I think it was a real chance though, when you consider it was Stevie Marlin. Yeah. You know, in that position, you expect him to do better. Hibs look more comfortable going forward. Scott Allen can pick a pass, a few of his passes, you know, splitting the Hearts defence. But it's been interesting because Hearts, we were looking at that starting lineup thinking, you know, it's definitely going to be a four at the back, but they've put Hickey, the young left back, to right wing back, you know, so a bit of a change, and Hearts going three at the back.
And credit to him, he looks alright.
Yeah,
he looks confident, looks like he wants to keep taking the ball.
Do you know what I've noticed about the young lad as well? I watched him in the final against Celtic. He was taking cramp all the time. He was absolutely terrific in that game, and he played left back. When he played out in the right here, every time the ball comes to it, he's not going on his left foot, Gordon. He's comfortable on his right. And he put a nice ball into the box here for Clare for his header. I was a bit surprised they played him out there, but he looks like he's got a lot of room if the Hearts can just find him. But so far, after 30 minutes, 0-0, I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in this Edinburgh derby.
Are we going to get a 0-0 after all that build up, and the manager who loses might be on a sugarly peg and all the rest of it? Are we going to get a 0-0 and it rumbles on?
Not the big goals.
Don't honestly believe the manager who loses this will get the sack. You think?
No, probably not as cutthroat as that, but you know what I mean. It clearly
piles the pressure on even further. Yeah.
Hearts get to the byline, try to stand it up, but they get it all wrong and it goes behind with half an hour on the clock. It is Hibs 0, Hearts 0. Have we got Neil Lennon yet? Yes, I think we do. So Celtic fans, have a listen to this. What do you make of your manager's post-match assessment?
That is a superb performance. Absolutely superb. I felt the scoreline flattered Kilmarnock at half time. They had one real, if you even want to call it an attack. It's a great goal from Brophy. There's a bit of luck with the deflection. But before that, we had peppered Kilmarnock's goal in there, good side. Hit the post, worked the goalkeeper on a number of occasions, and we thoroughly merited the equaliser when it came. And then we just asked for more of the same second half. And some of the play for 15, 20 minutes after half time was absolutely outstanding. Outstanding. So it's a great performance against a very good team. You don't concede much. I thought the goalkeeper had some world class saves. The one from Incham, just after half time, I thought it was in. It's just a brilliant save. So I'm getting everything from this team that I want at the minute. When teams come to defend, we're working the goalkeeper, we're creating lots of chances. And, you know, off the back of a really good performance on Thursday night, you know, they've cemented the league form at the minute with a brilliant display today.
See, it's one of the new rules, isn't it?
It's great.
Is that a good thing?
No, it is. You know, it's like, you know, there's your warning now, just calm down, which is fine. I've no issue with it at all. And, you know, Bobby's a great official, and I was talking about not losing my temper. I didn't lose it that badly, but you get the warning and that's it.
Were you just voicing your opinion to the sports officials?
Yes. Maybe a bit demonstratively, and you're not allowed to do that anymore, but there was no real issue at all.
There we go, Jim Duffy. Neil Lennon quite likes the fact that he got booked. What do you make of it?
Yeah, maybe it just gives you that wee bit of warning. You don't want to get sent to stand. I don't really see the point of the yellow card. And, you know, the referee runs all the way over, you know, from the and everybody kind of looks at it. And again, it's to me, it's a wee bit kind of, you know, look at me, you know, for the referee's point of view. And I know he's brought over by Bobby Madden, the fourth official. But to me, you know, they're all mic'd up. Just say to Bobby, tell Neil to calm down a little bit. You know, and then you don't need to run over with a yellow card and everybody kind of sees it. But Neil says that he felt it calmed him down a little bit and he understood it. Therefore, maybe it will work for some managers, but personally speaking...
Yeah, I mean, it's a worldwide rule, Hugh, now. I wonder, though, if... I get what Jim's saying from the manager himself, but I wonder if to sort of everyone else outside how beneficial it might be, because you, how many times in the past have you seen managers being sent to the stand and you think... Well, you know, I wonder what he did. Did he cross a line? Whereas now it's sort of clear. It's a bit like a player, well, he's on a booking, and if you have another go, you're going to be sent off. I can see both sides of that.
I can see Neil Lennon's explanation that it flags up the fact that you might be losing it, and it's his way, the referee's new way of telling you, calm down, or you will be losing it in the form of a red card. But I was just thinking, Jim Duffy, back in the day, you didn't get managers coming in and saying, no, the penalty that was denied was perfectly all right. That's a perfectly good decision. And then the Celtic manager coming in and saying, yes, the decision to book me was perfectly in order.
But when you win, it's always, as you say, magnanimous in victory. Yeah. But listen, you heard Stephen Gerrard talk about the penalty. You hear Neil Lennon talking about his incident because it apparently given against his team. I think, as you say, if the results had been different, I think, that little bit of frustration might have festered a little bit longer. It might have been a little bit more animated for both managers. But the guys know that. You know, when you've won, I mean, I've seen it many times, even as not high-profile as Old Firm matches, I've been involved in a game where if you've won the game and your player goes round the goal and the goalie brings him down, the referee doesn't give it a penalty, you go... Ach well, it's one of those days, and you don't think too much of it. But believe me, if it's vital to the scoreline, your opinion changes.
I do agree with you, Jim. I think as your manager and you've won a game, then you're on a high and you don't bother. Mark, I'll come to you. Don't worry.
We didn't call Alec Ferguson furious Fergie up here for no good reason.
0141 951 1025. Mark, what do you think? You got threatened with the yellow card yesterday, yeah. So presumably your offence was not even bad enough. No. You're quite a mild mannered individual.
Yeah, no, listen, I quite like it. I'm with Neil Lennon in this one. I get Jim's point. That's a bit perhaps showmanship for the referee, but I get your point, Gordon. It gives everyone around the place a sense of what's going on. We've seen managers sent to the stand, you go, He's hardly been out his dugout, but we get a sense, you know, that's you. You've had your warning, one more and you're away. So I quite like it.
And plus the fact, Mark, for you yesterday, if you get sent to the stand, it's some walk round that pitch, isn't it?
Imagine that,
actually. And the fans having a go.
You get to walk around the full
How
stadium.
How does that work? Are you allowed to just go and perch on the hedge, maybe? You could just get a ladder.
At Steny yesterday, stood in the car park, which was behind the dugout, so I could have stood on top of my car and just watched the game, but again, I avoided it.
So great news for Mark. He's back in Thursday with me. I'll look after
him. Yeah, you two are back. In terms of Neil Lennon's assessment of the football, Jimmy, he says things along the lines of, you know, the scoreline sort of flattered Kilmarnock at the break. He was very happy with his team's performance. Does that kind of match up with you, what you watched today?
Yeah, I mean, I said they hit the woodwork twice, and the keeper had a couple of good saves. I said the save leading up to the goal. I mean, the Incham one, it did look in, but it was a a TV save at the same time. You know, he's went up and flicked over the bar. It was a good save, but one, I think the keeper read it well and moved his feet. But as I said, the one leading up was an unbelievable save. As I said, I mean, Forrest heads it in, thinks it's in, and the keeper's clawed it away. And then, unfortunately for him, Christie bundles over. But yeah, I mean, in terms of chances created, as I say, shots, Pep on the goal. No, there's absolutely no doubt that Celtic deserve to win and win at least with a two-goal margin. But in saying that, as I said, Brophy scores. He has another one where Fraser Foster tips over the bar and they miss a penalty. So, you know, the game was, you know, it wasn't just like Commander just sat in and defended the whole time. They obviously, their game plan was to try and play on the counter-attack, and at times they've done that pretty well. But yeah, overall, Celtic, good, comprehensive victory and another three goals to boot.
Are we missing anything from the Edinburgh Derby?
Nah, it's end to end. The ball's never on the ground for very long. So it's a typical derby. It's 37 and a half minutes in now. It's 0-0. And, goes a new bad tackle.
Coming up.
It's typical the way these teams have been playing, though, in recent weeks. You know, no real cutting edge going forward. Lack of quality in the final third. You know, plenty of effort, but just no real quality so far.
The tackle was on Hickey.
Yeah, Darrell Horgan's into the book, isn't he? Yeah.
It's a nasty challenge, and again, it's premeditated. And he's fortunate to only get yellow.
Hugh is spot on there. How many times have you seen that in football? Because what happens first is Horgan loses the ball, Hickey robs him, and you can see it coming a mile away because he's frustrated that he's just been robbed of the ball. So there we go. Robert's on the line. He is a Rangers fan from Kilsyth. Hi, Robert.
Hi, guys. How's things? I've got a couple of points at this point. I just started one during the week. Congratulations to Neil Lennon. They put a law for some of the respects to the command direction. Just shows you what Scotland can do. It shouldn't have come to a death to bring that, but just a total respect to the guys. That's my first point. And my second point is, I feel like we've got 20 signings. I was on after 11.
I'll tell you what, Robert, the line is a bit ropey. I'm going to try and get producer Dan to clear that up. I think the first point, something you echoed, Hugh, in the past couple of days. It has been encouraging to see the way Scottish football has rallied round in the last few days.
Well, it was nice to see Fernando Rixon acknowledge that all three games today, minutes applause at Easter Road. I think everyone realises the nature of what happened to Fernando, like Jimmy Johnston some years ago. This is a debilitating, horrible disease, motor neuron disease, and he is only 43 years old. Jimmy lived long enough to see all the grandchildren. Fernando did not get that opportunity.
Right, Robert, I think we've got you back in crystal clear quality, I hope. What was your second point?
My second point was, I feel like we've got two new signings. I was on after the Livingston game complaining about the centre-half pairing, and I said, where's our £3.5 million signing on Hollander? And the other signing is, I feel we've got a bad balance now with Barisic. It was outstanding. In fact, I was at the game in the second half today. The full backs were outstanding. So just to put that point out to the guys, what do you think with that?
I think that's probably going to be the back four if everybody's fit, Gordon. Big question mark will be left back. Does he bring in Flanagan, who he probably thinks is a better defender than Barisic? But I think going forward, Barisic is a better option. Hollander and Golson is probably going to be the two centre backs. You know, you pay £3.5 million, expect a guy to play, and it's taking time. I thought he was excellent on Thursday night. If I'm critical, I thought he was poor for the chance O'Halloran had. I think he's got to be stronger there. But the signs so far is that they're going to be a good back four.
Jim, the debate about Rangers left backs has been going on all season. I wonder how significant the last two games have been, because I know it's only two games, but first of all, the Thursday night's massive, and it's a big game against European opposition. Barisic plays, and he then plays again. So not only do you play in the big game, but that's something we've not seen of him. We've barely seen him stay in the team. Is this a small sign of things to come?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm with Gordon. I thought that you know, he might have put Flanagan, because he generally, you know, defensively thinks that he is maybe a little bit more, because he doesn't bomb on. He's not naturally left-footed. But the way he wants to play, I think particularly, domestically, you would think Barisic all day long, because Rangers will be in the front foot. But But putting him in midweek against Feyenoord and the performance he's had, I think will give the player confidence. And I think Steven Gerrard is finding out about the boy as well, his personality, because I think Steven Gerrard, you know, says what's on his mind at times. But I think with Barisic, he's having to put an arm on his shoulder and say, listen, you're a good player. He's got to maybe handle him a little bit different. Maybe he's understanding that as well, Steven Gerrard. So, and I think, you know, now he's coming out publicly and saying, listen, he's doing really well. I'm delighted with him. He's really popular with the players, you know, and he's really trying to build up his confidence. You can get that sense, and it seems to be working. It's just handling players, different players, in a different way. You know, some get the kick up the backside, some need the arm on the shoulder, and I think Borna Barisic is definitely one that's responding to that support from his manager.
Mark Wilson, because Rangers, teams like Rangers and Celtic are expected to dominate every game domestically, win them, do they need two attacking fullbacks?
I think so.
Ultimately,
yeah, I think so, and someone, you know, it's more natural on that side, you know, to get up and deliver crosses. Understand why Flanagan's in there for the games that perhaps you need a tighter unit as your back four, but certainly when you're going away to McDermott Park and you're controlling a lot of the ball, I think Barisic is a better fit to play left back.
Robert, how pleased are you with the strikers you've got at the moment? Because it seems like there's a bit of a pattern developing where if you really need an important goal, you need a game broken down, Morelos is your man, and if you want to bring someone on to add a bit of gloss to the occasion, then Defoe can certainly do that.
I don't think we can complain, because we've got Morales. I was at a game on Thursday night, me and my friend, and we're sitting talking about the difference between Edward and Morales, but we were sitting and the difference between Rafael Morales and Edward's a wee bit more composed, where if he's in and he's at an angle where he'll just square it with Morales, he'll just try and smash it. So that's on another debate, but I'm over the moon with my two strikers. Long may it continue, they're scoring goals, so we can't complain.
Absolutely, thank you very much to Robert and Kilsyth. Still lots of time, well, not lots of time, there's still about 10 minutes for you to get your thoughts in, maybe on what you saw at Celtic Park this afternoon. Kilmarnock fans could also hear from you. Were you encouraged by your team's efforts? 01419511025. Let's hear from the manager then, Angelo Alessio, just before we get to half time in the Edinburgh Derby. Let's hear what the Kilmarnock manager had to say.
Against Celtic, for us, is very tough. At the same time, we play our game. We play our game. I think a good game, because 1-0 in counter-attack, and then shame, because we concede a goal at the end of the first half. It's not good, this. Of course, then, in the second half, was very difficult for us, because Celtic pushed very high, and if you commit two mistakes, type the players against Edward or Forrest, in this case Edward, they scored two goals. I think my team play the game in the right way.
Do you think it really would have changed things if you could have held on until half time and not conceded that goal?
I haven't changed something, but I think it's much better to go in the changing room 1-0, you know, 1-0, and we put pressure Celtic then, you know. Of course, this is a tough game against Celtic, because they have a lot of players, they can decide the game, you know. I think we play our game, we can come back, we could come back in the game, the end of the second half. We created two opportunities for to score with Brophy before, and then a penalty. But this is football. Foster, I think he good save. But we go ahead.
Kilmarnock have now played Celtic and Rangers, Jim, and had plenty of signs of encouragement within those games without managing to get the wins. Now from the picture that they're building, how do you see them going this season?
Yeah, I think a lot of times you've got to take these games with a pinch of salt, because invariably, you know, you'll see teams performing better, you know, against the, you know, the Old Firm at times, you know, than their normal level of performance is. But today, I think I agree with Angelo Alessio. They played their game, and I think that's the way he wants to play. I don't think he'll change it too much, whether they play St Johnstone, Hamilton, St Mirren, or whoever it happens to be. So I think that's the way they'll play. They'll obviously got pace There'll obviously a few more opportunities, but I think he's basing it on being resolute and being organised, and as I said, and looking at that pace. You know, Miller was very quick. I mean, one of the times in the second half, he gave Julian about 15 yards and got there, and I think, wow, he's quick. And obviously, Brophy's always a handful, and you know, Dom Thomas come on, had him last year at Dumbarton. He was sensational at that level, and he's another player with terrific ability. And so I think they've got, again, it's finding a natural goal scorer. That's very difficult at that level. But overall, I think, as I've said before the game, I think Kilmarnock will be more than fine this year, and I think they'll be one of the ones challenging at least for the top six. I'm
going to put down a challenge to you three in the studio. It's half time in the Edinburgh Derby, Hibs nil, Hearts nil. Give me a positive from the game. Put a positive spin on that 45. You know,
positive is we've got 10 minutes left in this show to get out of here.
I don't think it's that bad.
Oh, Hugh.
Well, listen, what's that effort like you expect from a derby? But the quality hasn't been the best. I mean, both teams are really struggling to keep possession. The amount of times Mulroney's went down that left-hand side, beat his man, and got a clear chance to cross, and he's either put it into the goalie's hands or put it behind, is incredible. So I think Craig Levein will be happy. I think that kind of suits, that first half suits him. You know, going in clean sheet, he put a team there that was based on containing Hibs, and has certainly done that in the first
I
half.
I like this, because this could be the new Hugh Keevans. You could be the one who puts a sunny disposition.
I mean, I'm not going
on
to
things.
I'm not going
like
to tell
it.
You that it's the equivalent of a Champions League match. What I'm saying is, it is fairly typical of what you expect from that particular fixture, and it lacks a goal scorer. But if I had paid my money to watch it, I wouldn't be sitting there at half time thinking, this is absolute rubbish, because it hasn't been absolute rubbish.
I certainly wouldn't pay money to watch it, I've got to say. And when I jump in my car, I'm going to take my time the way home, so that I miss the setting.
I know that's not true. I know you're a student of the game.
I love the game.
You
but,
will watch it.
But
when
I
you
just
get
think
home.
I just think because of the pressure on everyone concerned, it's got 0-0 written all over it already.
Well, listen, maybe the second half will be better, but it is goalless at the moment. Hibs nil, Hearts nil. I think if you're a fan, you will be enjoying it, Hugh. Well, not enjoying it, but you get caught right up in it if you're there. Yeah. It's easy for us to be slightly tongue-in-cheek and be critical when we're standing from a distance. Let's hear from Jermaine Defoe, shall we? He's also been speaking after scoring a double. He came off the bench to score twice as Rangers ran out 4-0 winners at St Johnstone.
I felt like in the first half, obviously, they made it a little bit difficult for us to sort of like play with that sort of intensity that we showed on Thursday night. I thought it was important that, you know, in the second half that we tried to get an early goal, which we did. And I think after that, you know, we dominated. So it's a good win.
And for yourself as well, to get those two goals when you come on?
Yeah, obviously, on a personal note, it's always nice to score goals. And yeah, it was good. Obviously, the most important thing is to win the game. But, you know, sitting on the side, I did realise that, you know, if I came on, hopefully I'd get some chances. Because we were creating the second half, we created so many chances, you know, there's a lot of crosses. And like I said before, we dominated. So, obviously, yeah, it was nice to come on and get the two goals.
Just one more on Alfredo. Obviously, get his two goals, but out with that, how impressed were you with his link-up play? Do you think that's something that he's improving on?
Yeah, but he's so strong. I feel like when defenders get that tight to him, you know, I feel like that's when he's at his best, where he can roll people. But yeah, I agree, to be honest. I think today his link up was good. You know, we kept the ball every time, and I think you need that. Well, you have to, because you've got Connor screaming at you for the whole game if you don't keep the ball in that. So, but no, it was good. It was good today.
Jermaine Defoe, Hugh Keevans, you can't really argue with that contribution off the bench. Yes, you all agree that one of them was offside. And I think I think we're over the controversy for the other one, but nevertheless, he puts them away, as you would expect.
If the officials don't make the decision, then he still has to finish the job, and he did. What a handy guy to have around the place. You'd obviously start with Morelos more times than not, but what a handy man, a guy who has been prolific his whole career. And today, in a few explosive minutes, he has shown the size of the contribution that he can make before this season is out.
Jim Duffy, I just feel like week to week there's going to be a consistent debate this season about how Rangers use Morelos or Defoe. It seems that it's just not going away for good reason.
Yeah, but it is good reason. Two exceptional strikers. I mean, I don't know, with that two today, he must put him up there in about the top of the goal scoring charts, isn't it? Defoe, you know, even
I think it's 20 between them, certainly.
Yeah,
or thereabouts.
But certainly with limited time as he's had. But you know, no, he's as you said, he's been a prolific goal scorer at the very top level. You know, all his career, he's a credit, you know, in terms of his professionalism, in terms of how he approaches it, even just speaking at the end of the game there, you know, he's not throwing the toys at the pram because, you know, starting, he's actually praising Alfredo Morelos and looking at him. So, no, it's a fantastic for Rangers to have two players of that quality pushing each other. And I think that's the really important thing, that they're pushing each other to set the standards. And that's what you want at that level.
Jim Duffy, we will bid you a fond farewell. We can take it from here for the next 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. The sun's shining over the east end of Glasgow. So
lovely. Good stuff. Thank you very much. That was Jim Duffy watching Celtic beat Kilmarnock by 3-1. Talk bigger picture to us, Hugh. That's always your speciality. Are we seeing a real strength from Celtic and Rangers at the moment? A sort of a professionalism, a depth that's allowing them to just be too far ahead of what we've got domestically, and maybe even coping in Europe as well.
It was never going to be any other way on a domestic level. Look at the money that they both have spent and are able to spend, and they might go again in the January transfer window. So if you are stuck with a two-horse race, it might as well be a good one. And we've had 6 matches. Today we've had 8 goals spread over their 2 games. We've had controversy over just about everything, but what we have had is 2 convincing wins for Celtic and Rangers, and we've got 32 more games to go. They promise us tremendous excitement from now until the finishing line.
And by the way, Mark and Gordon, it's worth pointing out that this is the way it should be. If you're a fan of a smaller team listening to this, you'll say, yeah, I'm not surprised they're winning every, you know, the resources, the gap, everything. We know it's massive, and you could flip it in its head and say this is Celtic and Rangers performing as they should, rather than being disappointing from time to time.
Yeah, of course they've got big squads. They're going to need to rotate as the season goes on. I mean, we've got another five of these Sundays where they're going to have to bounce back from European football. It's not always going to be pretty, but as long as they get the 3 points, I don't think Neil Lennon and Steven Gerrard will bother one bit.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all about getting the points on the board, Gordon. Performances come secondly. They've got squads to cover that. You heard the Rangers manager saying there are no excuses. Players can play 2 games in a week, no problem. But I expect more. Obviously, the 5 Sundays still to go. I expect Rangers and Celtic just continue winning games.
And very briefly, Hugh, we roll on to another big week. It's breathless stuff. We've got Betfred Cup quarterfinals in a matter of days. And the fun never stops.
Well, we'll find out how Christopher Julian is for Celtic, but they are playing Partick Thistle, crisis club Partick Thistle. They ought to be able to put out a side at Celtic Park that will put them in the semi-final. Rangers will beat Livingston in Livingston. Kilmarnock will beat Hibs. And Aberdeen will beat Hearts. So you'll have Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Celtic and Rangers in the semi-final, I promise you.
He's gone in 3 days early on the predictions. This is a new record. Thank you to Hugh Keevans, Jim Duffy and Alex Ray were at the games. Big thanks to Gordon and Mark for keeping his company in the studio as well. I feel like I'm rhyming off the Oscars speech here, because I'm missing people out. Andrew and Alison for bringing us the post-match reaction. But the biggest thanks must go to you guys for listening, for tweeting, for calling. And you can do it again tomorrow at 6. Hugh and Alex will be back. And in the meantime, stay right there, because the UK Chart Show is up next.